This is an MUT Radio podcast.
So it's the only way to start your day. As I mentioned earlier on, we do have Umlambo Atenis, and this morning we are joined by Urejo Lehana on MUT Radio. Urejo, thank you so much for joining us on MUT Radio.
Good morning, Mr. Oletsi, and good morning to the listeners of MUT Radio. It feels good to be back.
Definitely, really appreciate having you also on the show. I think I met you a few weeks ago, so it was interesting to see Abo Rejo and Abo. Who's the other guy again?
Teboho,
yes. I also met Mr. Mlambo. So it's quite interesting to put the words in the faces. But thank you so much for joining us on MUT Radio.
The pleasure is all ours, Mr. Oletsi, and it was a very, very big pleasure to meet you and your team as well a few weeks ago.
Siyabonga vethu. But today we're speaking about contracts. Interesting.
Yes, my favorite topic. Today specifically, I'll be focusing on how to read a contract.
Mm-hmm.
So as I always start off all my topics on contract, a contract is a legally binding document. It's very important for anybody that signs it, because once you've signed it, you're legally bound by it, and you can't come back and say, I didn't read it, therefore the contract is not applicable. Mm. It's very important that you read and understand what your contract says. Under the Consumer Protection Act, which offers protection to consumers for a variety of different kinds of contracts, you are entitled to receive contracts in plain language and to have the terms explained to you.
Mm. And yes.
So it's very important off the bat to try and understand the contract structure, how the contract is structured, because contracts do vary depending on what it is you're trying to achieve. And contracts have a unique structure that differs from other types of writings. They are organized and they are based on related provisions and often contain cross-references and defined terms.
Mm. So when will I know, Rejo, that I understand fully this structure?
You need to recognize the structure, and you don't expect to understand the entire contract in one read through. I'll explain this a little bit later, but more than one read is very important for you to understand how the contract is structured without first going into what the contract is saying.
Mm.
And once you've understood what the structure of the contract is, you need to familiarize yourself with different sections. By this, I mean that contracts typically include what we call a preamble, or often it will also be called a recital. It will have defined terms. It will have the term, meaning how long the contract is will be in place for and how its termination can come about. Other factors such as representations, warranties, covenants, which are also called promises from time to time, contract conditions, payment provisions, risk allocation, and boilerplate clauses, which will tend to confuse the public when it comes to boilerplate clauses, and then exhibits and schedules to the contract.
Mm. Rojo, you speak about different sections and familiarizing myself with that different sections. Are these sections like the same or probably similar?
Not entirely. And this will start coming into play once you've read the contract, maybe on the third or fourth time. And then you'll start to understand the purpose and content of each section. Like I've explained, the different kinds of sections, your preambles, your recitals, and so forth and so forth.
Mm.
Then I would advise to follow the three-part approach when it comes to understanding a contract. The first one, once you've obviously understood the structure and you have read it a number of times, it will then be time to divide your reading into three phases. Mm-hmm. The first phase is a high-level scan to understand the structure, like I've explained. The second phase involves reading the defined terms carefully and then going through the contract section by section. Because more often than not, what will happen is we'll have a defined term section. Think of this as your dictionary, where certain terms are defined and they are given meaning. Then you go into the section, and then if the defined term comes into play, you've already understood what the defined term is, and now you understand how exactly it's placed within the content, within the section, and that will allow you to understand the purpose and the content of the section. The third class will allow you to review and clarify any areas of confusion. This is now when you properly start to understand what the contract is saying. You've understood the structure, you've understood the defined terms, and you'll obviously have a few gaps to say, oh, but what does this mean? Oh, what does this mean? And then you can drop that down, and now you can be properly understood your agreement. Now you can go to the other contracting party and say, listen, I've read this contract and I don't understand clause 4. I don't understand clause 5 and so forth and so forth, because now you have a better idea of what is going on.
Yes.
Then my next key component is to watch out for missing provisions. It's important to pay attention to what's missing from the contract. Always be pragmatic and think about potential issues that may arise, and to ensure that the contract addresses them adequately.
And how do I then approach the potential issues that may arise during this contract?
Always be pragmatic when it comes to a contract. Always be pragmatic. Think about what the nature of the contract is. What exactly are you trying to do and in a contract, and place it into practical terms. I can make a quick example here by saying, before you sign, the most common agreement that I think people do usually sign, and that's your lease agreement. You know, be pragmatic about it and just think to yourself, okay, if my contract is saying that I have the maintenance resolution time is 7 days, that's not necessarily pragmatic, because now you might find yourself with a leaking pipe for 7 days.
Yeah.
See, now you've understood it. Now you know what it means. And now you can say to your other contracting person, look, man, I don't think 7 days is pragmatic. It's not very practical for what it is we're trying to achieve here.
Yeah.
I think we need shorter time. Instead of now having, you signed the contract, it says 7 days, and then your tenant says, chief, you see, we agreed that you'll give me 7 days to fix your leaking pipe, so give me the 7 days. So these are the aspects that you can look out for. And see exactly, is this contract going to work for me? What are the practical implications of what I'm signing?
We're not sure, but let's wrap it up, Rachel, because I know you are rushing to another meeting as well. Maybe are there any other significant pitfalls to look out for when it comes to these contracts?
Yes, other significant pitfalls will include missing dispute resolution clauses, which will force parties into costly court battles. And there are other ways of resolving disputes outside of court. So very, very important to look out for a missing dispute resolution clause.
Maybe why and in what instance can contracts have blanks? Yeah, we don't want to see that in a contract, eh?
No, you don't. You don't. That would cause a lot of problems for you. So more often than not, the blanks would be for the other party to obtain certain information from you, such as personal information. This is very prevalent in credit agreements where you need to fill in a lot of blanks. It's very, very important for you not to leave any blanks in a contract. Try as far as possible to fill in every piece of information that's required from you. And then it's very important as well to consider other incorporated documents. Contracts will often refer to other documents or agreements that are incorporated by reference. It's important to gather these documents and to review them to understand the impact on the contract, and be wary of any language allowing unilateral changes to incorporated documents. This will come about a lot when you are perhaps, let's say, for example, signing a further credit agreement, where you've signed an initial credit agreement and now you want to extend your loan or increase your credit limit and so forth and so forth. You'll often be asked to sign a much shorter contract that will then incorporate the terms of the previous contract. So just because you're signing a shorter contract, don't think that the other contract is no longer applicable. They just try to take those contents and put it into the further credit agreement. Yes, and as always, it's very, very important to know who you're contracting with. So you must ensure that the parties mentioned throughout the contract are the correct entities. Verify this at the top of the contract in the preamble and at the bottom of the contract in the signature block. It's very important to consider additional guarantees or related company obligations if there are doubts about the party's stability. Mm-hmm. Then just as a wrapper up, it's very important to look out for specific phrases and ambiguity. Pay attention to phrases like provided, however, notwithstanding the foregoing, and for the avoidance of doubts. And this is why it's always important to ask for legal advice before signing a major contract that may have a lot of repercussions and consequences at a later stage.
Mm. Hey, those are big terms there for the avoidance of doubt. What?
Doubt. Notwithstanding the foregoing. Very important.
Yeah, those are
very important
phrases there. Why are these phrases important to look out for?
These phrases will more often than not indicate exceptions, overriding rules, or clarifications. So it will have a double negative. You think the contract is saying one thing, but just the way it's worded by using any of these words, it will then override what is actually written. So that what's written may not be applicable. So you read it, you think, oh, okay, I'm going to get my money back in 48 hours.
Yeah.
And then they put there, however, or provided, that we have so and so and so, we have your banking details, or provided that somebody senior up in management approves it. So it's the double negative that these words create, and you may find yourself in an unwanting position.
That is crazy. You know what? Let's wrap it up because we have to go to the news. You also have to jump into another meeting. But before we let you go, how do we then contact Mlambo and Associates?
Thank you for that, Mr. Oluwetu. Our contacts have not changed. You're more than welcome to call us on 010-502-0626. Email us at info@mlambolegal.co.za. And we are also available on our website, www.mlambolegal.co.za.
Thank you so much. That was Urikho Lekhana from Mlambo and Associates joining us in studio. All the best. See you that other week. Siyabonga.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That was
This is an MUT Radio podcast.